Alex, I'm so excited to have you on. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, I appreciate you even wanting to give me an opportunity to answer some questions. That's amazing.
Of course. Well, the name of this podcast is Rare Humans, and I really do think you are one of the original rare humans that I've met in my life, just from the early days of doing that like brief tour together and just like the work ethic and a lot of the things that I've even learned from you and been inspired from your journey. So it's definitely cool to have that like higher level of relationship with you, if that makes sense.
And it's been 6 years since that. We drove up the coast of the West Side and we slept on floors on the tour. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know how much more bonding you can get. I think to share that type of experience with someone, there is always a level of just comfort and like forever friendship, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And those are the early days too, like the sleeping on the floor eras of just like going through such a crazy time where you're just like down for anything and you're willing to do anything to just gain experience and put yourself in position to learn and grow. And like the maximum amount of growth, I'm sure you can attest to this too, but even in my personal life, every single bit of personal growth always comes from like facing some challenge or big adver like amount of adversity or great challenge. And I think the older we get, the more I realize like you have to keep presenting yourself with these challenges and move through them in order to kind of build character, or else you just kind of s become stagnant and stale, and you're just getting into these routines that kind of just you don't even really control, but it's just kind of the way time works. So, yeah, I've always appreciated those eras and pockets of time where you're like, it's a crazy environment, but I'm still having fun.
Yeah, that's a practice in itself to like find the eye of the hurricane, if you will, because don't they say like the eye of the hurricane, it's actually where it's the most calm.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's one of the reward is in the journey paths of life, is figuring out how to find the eye of the hurricane.
Right. There's somebody that I just was listening to that said it was like about it was he requoted some like older philosopher guy, but he was like, when you zoom in, your life is a tragedy, but when you zoom out, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, so, what he's trying to say essentially is like when you're going through one of the craziest challenges you've faced, and it's like your back is against the wall, and you think, this is it, I'm done, like I've failed or whatever, this is too hard, I can't do this, like all these limiting beliefs start coming up. It's like seems like a tragedy, right? Like nothing's going right. But then when you zoom out, down the road, you'll look back at, well, you when you and I are in our 40s, we'll look back at our 20s and be like, we'll laugh, it'll be like, damn, we were hungry.
Hungry. That's why I've been enjoying running lately. I've been running a lot. I'm
Yeah.
training for marathon, and it's like there's always, even like feeling strong through the run, there's always that thought that comes up, and it's like, you could slow down. Your body hurts. Like, it's gonna be harder to stick with this pace. How are you gonna then finish,
Right.
And it's just a constant reminder. It's a constant exercise. Like, physically and mentally, to get across the finish line or finish each training session. And it just shows like if you just don't stop, you will finish. And then if like if I could just take those testaments and apply it to business, because as you know, as an entrepreneur, it gets hectic, it gets brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I know I could push through physical pain. Lactic acid, the whole thing is I could push through some obstacles that will only feel big, will only feel tragic, as you said, in our mind. And if we just keep going, and as the days, add up on being behind us, we could look back and laugh one day and be like, man, that was funny. I can't believe I was that mad at that. Or,
Right.
so running is like that. Running's been that quote in actual form for me lately.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people talk about rewiring your brain to be more open and willing to facing these challenges, like for you in this sense, it's running. And you know, your mind has a funny way of like trying its hardest to set the narrative for you. You know, having free will, we get to decide, but ultimately some people that have this mindset of like when you get out there and you're running and your knees start to kind of feel some type of way, or your, you know, lungs, you got a pain in the side of your chest, that mind immediately goes to stop. Like this isn't for you, or you're never gonna be AB. Like it's trying to create that narrative, and sometimes it always kind of gears to, or goes towards like a negative mindset. And so I you know, one of the questions for you is like, how have you overcome that mental challenge, you know, while trying to stay physical and maintain that level of wanting it and getting after it, but it's like your mind is just like
Like telling you to stop.
yeah.
Well, one, I think I've been grateful that I got not I've been grateful that I've been reading a lot, because I think it goes with a mixture of like understanding one why the mind will do that, and why it's always easier to think negative and want to stop, because it's just like our body protecting ourselves as a defense mechanism. It's like, hey, this is alerting that you're feeling a little tired, your body might be heating up internally, so then you gotta start sweating and all that. But it's just a survival instinct. It's like to just say, hey, if you want to be more comfortable, if you want your heart rate to be at a slower rate, if you want to not be like, just stop running fast, or just stop running.
Yeah.
So I think one had to come with just understanding that, and then the practice. And I'm only using that. We could take that not so literal, more figurative, and take that into other avenues. And just saying, hey, I'm having the alert button pop up in my mind regarding this obstacle, regarding this mistake or might or potential mistake, and just do something more easy. And then once you could, again, stack up the experiences that we could push through that, and then the threshold for that strengthens in itself, then you could keep going. So it's just a mixture of understanding, for me, why understanding why it happens, and then exercising it to push through when it does happen, and limit or l lessen the volume on that alert button.
Right. And it's almost like the more exposure you have to those kind of situations, the more experience you have and more awareness you have. So when you mentioned pushing through, like before, you're like, oh, what's going on? Like, is something wrong? Did I tweak this? Did I that? But now it's like the more you go through that, you're super hyper aware of your body and
Yeah.
what things kind of get triggered or not during those runs. And you're like, it's all normal and I can just keep pushing on.
Yeah.
How is that made you feel in the long term with running? Obviously, there's so many great health benefits with running, but just for you personally, you know, when you don't run or you miss a day or two, do you start to kind of see yourself get back to this, like, oh, you know,
No,
I need to get back out there?
Nah, because I have like a schedule that I'm doing, a training program I'm doing. So I'm actually happy that I'm not running every day. What I do is I lift every day. And when I miss a lift, or if I just miss a day of like intense physical activity, I feel off,
Yeah.
because I just need to get the energy out. And now I'm in the practice of that practice, right? The practice of doing something physical, but then the practice within the practice of, okay, like right now we're doing this circuit where you lift for 8 minutes straight. You do one set, you just do one two exercises back and forth, 20 reps. And again, it's like kind of the same thing as running. It's like, okay, if I got 20 reps and I'm feeling oof at 12, how am I going to get through these next eight? I need that moment in the day to be like one, two, three, you know? And
Right.
the practice within the practice. There's the consistency practice, the routine, and how disciplined can you be? And then pushing yourself past the limits where those alerts start pushing. So for running, it's kind of just like an extra cherry on top, because then when I get to the half marathon, I always hit a wall at mile 10. So I'm training now mentally, I'm training physically to keep going mile 10, or keep going at a strong pace past mile 10. But then it's like, half marathon aside, this then goes back into life, where it's all right, if I'm not building, as you know, Sakaya, my mental push-ups, and it took me so long to understand that, like what that meant, like in practice. If I could just get something that's giving my mental push-ups to then release that natural dopamine, I'm fine. But if I don't get that out, then it's like, oof, oof, I might be a little moody that day,
Right.
whole thing. But then I also do like mental stuff, where it's just reading. Like, I'm trying to read 50 books this year. So if I need to read 20 pages, if I need to read 20 pages, I'm reading 2 books at a time. So you usually got to read like 20 pages a day in each book. And then you might be mentally burnt out. So it's like, all right, well, let me strengthen the mental too and try my best to be present to retain as much as I can, even if that means I got to actively highlight and all that. So I'm just trying to, every little thing when I'm not working on business stuff, I'm working on something that will apply to something in business later in my mind. So I got to do something that's exercising my physical and pushing my boundaries mentally.
It's like compound interest, where you're doing these things daily and they add up over time and compound and compound, and then next thing you know, you're running half marathons. I want to dig into the book aspect of it. You mentioned wanting to finish 50 books this year. You read twice, 2 books a day, right? You said 20
Two
pages,
books, 2 books at a time. So
two
it's like
books at a time, right?
right now I'm averaging like 4 books a month.
Great.
I'm strategizing it all. I'm hoping if I could get, I could be consistent 4 books a month until later in the year, I could squeeze out an extra, a 5 book month here, a 5 book month there. But the minimum is 4 books a month, because 4 times 12 is 48. So I just need to have 1 month where I get five. So, yeah.
I
So.
love that. What was the, we're into March so far. So you've got how many books down have you
I
read?
have 8 so far. I'm on 9 and 10. Currently, the books I'm reading is the MLK and Martin Luther King book. It's called A Nightmare and a Dream, and it's showing the similarities and the differences in MLK and Martin. And then I'm reading a book called Mila 18, which has to do with, it's a historical novel about the ghetto in Warsaw, Poland during the Holocaust. And I just became super obsessed with this author. I read a book of his called The Exodus, which is like the story of how Israel became its own state. And then I read The Hajj, which is a story. Again, these are all like novels, but there's facts, historical facts that's in it. So it's like he's putting the medicine in the candy, where he's talking about how these historical things happened through the story of like a fake person, if that makes sense. But he did a bunch of research to get the facts, to educate on the cultures of the Arab nations, Muslims and Jews and everything like that. And then with this book, what was going on in Poland and all the war politics and the philosophies of the leaders at that time, and all that. So I've just been doing a lot of, 'cause with everything that happened in Israel and Palestine, I didn't really have an opinion on it, only because I just didn't know. And it just made me really curious as to what the facts were. So I just wanted to do my own study, my own research. And I think it was, I'll wait till this goes by.
No, you're good. I'm honestly impressed with how clear the mic has been so far with being outside. It must have some like no new noise canceling kind of tech in there, because I'm impressed. It sounds like crystal clear.
Shout out Steve Jobs.
Hey, yes,
But
absolutely.
yeah, no, I just been really into just learning that, but I just fell in love with the author. So right now I'm reading about black oppression and Jewish oppression, and being mixed, I'm half black, being religious, even though I don't follow religion that much, I do have Jewish blood in me. So I'm just kind of learning my history on both fronts.
Well, I mean, you really are setting an example in what I believe is an era where There isn't a lot of that, right? Curiosity leads to and has led to so many of the great things in our world, historically. And in this sense, you saying, hey, I can't really form an opinion on this because I don't know enough about it. Let me dig into that and let me be curious about it first before I can do that. And I think that's one of the things that has been a little bit interesting for me to see. A lot of that is kind of elevated by obviously social media and like people kind of hopping on whatever train is passing through. But I think that says a lot about how you can come to your own conclusions that you feel confident in and comfortable in because you put in that time to research it and to be curious about it. So, like, do you think that that has helped you and guide you in being more knowledgeable about certain topics that like a lot of people think they know about, but you're like, no, I really want to dig into this first?
You know what's funny? Even like within learning this, I still question some of the stuff.
Right.
Because I just think the kid game telephone is so amazing. Like, no matter how much research the person does, you still have to trust that they did the proper research. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't, especially with that. I'm still learning like those particular topics. I'm still learning how to navigate that because I've never really identified as a Jew,
Right.
and like I wasn't bar mitzvah. My parents never made me religious. I was always just through my mom like led down a path of spirituality, just kind of like what feels good to you.
Interesting how that happens. Like the, because I come from a divorced family and I was baptized Catholic, and my mom was the one that kind of pulled me away from religion and the church and instead made it about spirituality and your life journey. And like, yeah, so it's so funny because you can grow up in a very organized religious setting, where you're reading the Bible or reading these things and understanding the history, or you can kind of grow up in this environment where you're like, yeah, I understand that, I see that, but also you don't have to fully commit and like identify with that. You can have your own, because there's a lot of great things. I mean, there's the theories that obviously the Bible is like full, it's just metaphors. It's not, like, so if you don't take it literally and take it more of a perspective of like, what is this just trying to teach us or help us in a way, because you can pull a lot of, I'm sure, great things from, different religions for sure.
Well, to your question, after reading these books, I don't feel like I'm more knowledgeable than the next person. It actually makes me more curious. And actually, I want to read the Bible. I want to read the Quran. I want to read the Torah. Because in reading these books, it says that all these things are very similar. Like Muhammad is a prophet, Jesus is a prophet or a disciple of, Almighty God, Allah, whatever the religion is, how the Buddha, whatever, right? And it actually makes me curious, and but there are little distinctions from the books that I'm reading. So I actually do want to read all of them at some point and see the teaching and see how they differ. Because the thing that I always was confused about is like how if everything teaches love, I don't understand how there's like been religious wars, I just
Right.
felt always like contradictory.
Why do you think that?
I think it's tough to have like, I'm kind of gonna regurgitate a little bit. I read this book called Sapiens.
It's a great book.
Amazing book.
Yeah.
And kind of going off of what they said, it's kind of like, I also read this book called Sophie's World. It's a book, it's like a another historical novel where they teach about the main points of like the elementary points of the all the philosophers that ever lived in a story. So again, it's like information, but it's within a story that keeps you engaged, right? And a lot of it just came with over time on a little bit of control, a little bit of the unknown, and we need something as humans to attach to why does this happen? Why,
Purpose.
the purpose, the why, the curiosity. So I think it gives some sort of comfort in a way too. It gives people a sense of community. But I don't know why. It's hard for me to say why exactly there's religious wars when religion essentially preaches love above all, right? Like, I don't get why the LGBT community is still looked down upon in certain areas in the world or certain areas in the country. And you know, like I just find a lot of contradictions, and that is something I just can never really understand, no matter how much reading I do. But that's kind of why I want to read, you know, all the different scriptures. And then even within that, it's like, how do we know that's why, if it does say that, which I don't know if it does, why is that law? Why have we accepted that as law? You know, why is the minority a bad thing, right? Like, Jews are minority, Black people are minorities, gay people, trans people are minorities. And I don't know why that's necessarily a negative thing either, you know?
Right.
Especially if, like, they're not like trying to ruffle the feathers of people, you know, they're just trying to be just like us. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know why religion goes that.
It's interesting because in different religions and, you know, commonly talked about as like there's good and bad or good and evil. Do you think that that plays a role in it to where maybe when you go back to the idea of telephone passing down information by generations, do you think that maybe a little bit of misinformation was purposely injected into some of these things to kind of alter people's perception and like turn against certain things? Or I know that's kind of a loaded question, but when you mention like love and how, why is there a lot of hate? Like, does it correlate with the fact that in the Bible or other places they talk about good and evil?
That's a great question. I would think it's done purposely, but it's done ignorantly, from the sense of, like, I always think about, like, a racist person. I think I read an article, I forgot, a couple years ago. The time when I read it doesn't matter. And it was about, like, a white supremacist woman. She went to a female jail, and by the time she came out, she was a lesbian who married a Black woman, right? And I think that's just an example of hate is taught. So if any information is getting passed down, it is on purpose, but it's also to that person's, I don't want to say detriment, but that's why I say the word ignorance. That person's ignorant. They didn't know anything else, you
Right.
know?
You're only as good as the information you have.
Yeah,
It's like
and
one of my favorite quotes.
no, for real. And, like, even reading this MLK Malcolm X book, one of the biggest things, like, they fought for justice, and one advocated for self-defense, one advocated for complete nonviolence, right? And it also, and something I'm learning in the book, it was like within white churches and Black churches, they even use the teachings a little differently. And that was like MLK's whole crutch, was like, how, if we're all made under God, how could you consider someone less than because of their skin color? And, like, that was MLK's main point when he started out. So it's just funny, to your point, it's like, how does that happen? How is a Black person less than a white person if we are all under made this one entity? And that's just the difference of being what you're being taught growing up. And that's through history. It's not even, and that was just at the end of the book, they kept saying, like, it's not even just an American problem. It's like an international problem. The darker person is looked down upon for.
I've always, it's so funny you bring that up because that was one of the things early on in my 20s where, you know, when I was really in the thick of, you know, reading and even you mentioned this, the Sapiens book and all that, there's these like critical flaws in our thinking as humans. And that's a perfect example of it. Like, why is that? Because somebody has more melanin in their skin and has a darker tone that we immediately go to the place of fear or hatred or, you know,
It's
it's
absurd to me.
It's
It's a
very, very, very interesting, because even with the idea of, diversity and all that stuff, I look back and looking at the great achievements of humanity, it should almost, and I know this is like very wishful thinking, but it should be viewed as like humanity and humans together on the same team.
the human
The
race.
human race, right?
Like,
You
right?
know, and so when they say like the first black or first woman or first, I get that. I understand, because we're trying to kind of push back on the ideas of like institutionalized racism, all that stuff. I understand that. But if we can just get rid of it altogether, but I don't know, that might be an ignorant statement, because a lot of people say, well, this is my culture, this is my heritage, I want to be able to express this. And so I totally understand that too. So, one of the things that I need to think more about is just like, how can we? And then you have like the more conspiracy type of debates too about like, oh, well, governments or religious leaders or corporations want us to be divided, right?
Yeah.
So that us kind of being united as one is a threat to the elite. Because I've always thought that like classism, I've always thought about like classism. Obviously, racism is a huge deal, but even so, going back to like the fucking Roman Empire and the Europe kings and queens and all that, it was always the kings and the queens and the fucking peasants or the slaves. It was like this power structure. And when you talk about the elites, they're very, 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 it's they're the minority. It's like 1% of all humanity like has more than X amount of dollars or something like that.
Yeah.
So do you think that they fear almost like a renaissance of like, fuck all that, we're all just gonna come together as one? Or like, I don't know, it's just such a loaded discussion, I know, but
No, for
just trying to
sure.
think about how we can get there.
I think it's mind. I think that goes back to mindset. And I think, because something in the MLK book that he said, let me actually pull it up because I actually sent it. I sent a screenshot to somebody about it. Hold on one second. It's gonna take.
Also, while you do that, I will say that, and if you can attest to this, but when I read and highlight, there's no better feel. Sometimes I'll just highlight shit just to highlight, because I love the feeling of like highlighting shit.
Yeah.
I feel like it helps me retain the information more too. It's like
Yeah.
my favorite things about reading physical books.
So this is something, two things I'll say in the book, right? And it says, nothing pained Malcolm more than Black people's alienation from each other, which he saw as the most damaging element of the legacy of slavery. While physical servitude was terrible, mental slavery was worse because when the mind is damaged, one cannot act in the best interest of the whole self. And then MLK's dad, he had an incident with a shoe clerk in a store, right? And he was trying to buy a pair of shoes. He wasn't trying to sell the shoes. And then he said, Martin Luther King's dad said, "You will wait on us here. We won't buy any shoes." And then when the clerk refused to serve them, Daddy King took Martin by the hand and marched out, mumbling, "I don't care how long I have to live with this thing. I'll never accept it. I'll fight it till I die. Nobody can make a slave out of you if you don't think like a slave." And to your point about, the elites and the peasants, I just think that's the mindset is like the slave probably doesn't even think they could live a different reality.
Is they're brainwashed in a sense. They've been purposely
It's the same like
brainwashed.
push of hate towards this person is less than you, this because they're darker. And then on both sides, the person being received it, the white person believes that. And if you're born into slavery, I mean, I'm grateful that my situation in this form, I don't relate. I'm just thinking based on the stuff that I'm reading and hearing other, just trying to educate myself. I would imagine you wouldn't think there's another opportunity. And even just having friends that, grew up a little less fortunate than I did, they will tell you. Or like Carmelo Anthony, I was watching an interview with Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade, and he was like, the NBA was not, even when I was a top ranked high school player, I didn't think I could go to the NBA. I went to college, going for 4 years, and whatever happens after that. Because growing up, they always told him, you're not going to do this. And so you just adopt that mindset.
That's a great point about manifestation and getting what you want in a certain situation. And it's all comes down to even believing in the first place that you can. Because the minute that you speak into existence, I can't do that. I can't make the NBA. All right. Then you're not going to. Yeah, you can't do that.
I can't finish this race.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great. Then you, all right, you can't. Like, whatever you tell yourself, whether it's a positive or a negative, there's a lot of power in words and self-talk. And, you know, it goes back to that spirituality of manifestation. And there is way more power in that than people understand. And you talk about a lot of self-help books that talk about limiting beliefs or, you know, self-limiting beliefs or words or, you know, why can't I do this? Or why can't I, you know, like, I can't this, or I can never do this right. Or I can, and it's like, the more you say those things, the more the brainwashing is setting into place, right? There was a therapist that wrote this book about how, like, when you think of your brain as like grooves in like the Grand Canyon, and the more you reaffirm something in your brain, it's like the deeper those grooves get, and the harder it becomes to reverse that. It's kind of like, you know, somebody that has a bad habit at 18 is going to be way easier to fix and reverse than somebody who's been doing that same shit since they like in their 60.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you, what's your opinion on realism being a like blocker of manifestation? Like, 'cause like I've come to be really more realistic, but not pessimistic. I just know, hey, if this, 'cause like I think manifestation is only attainable if you're like setting realistic goals as well. But then it's like, who am I to say that I can't do XYZ? But then, you know, so like, what's your opinion? Like, is realism a blocker of manifestation?
So I think that there obviously has to be a level of reality where you're like, for example, I'm going to read 100 books by tomorrow at 4 p.m. Like that, see, like that's like, okay, yeah, no, that's not happening, right? But I think to answer your point, if you go on the more micro level and like you try to manifest these big goals, but then you like find a way to manifest smaller goals that lead up to that. Where, in my opinion, it's like there's going to be blocks along the way. So, for example, if you're not a very good reader or you don't retain information, but you want to read, you know, 50 books, then if you break that down into like, okay, but the first step I need to make is, you know, building that muscle of like reading to begin with. And becoming a better reader so that I can be more efficient. It's like one thing leads into the other. So I don't know if this is like answering your question, but I don't know. It's just like it's more of like just repetitive, almost like brainwashing yourself into thinking that it's going to happen and then it does. Like setting that intention. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. And I'm with you. I ask because it's like I struggle with that. It's like because I've been more realistic as of late, I feel realism could get mixed up with pessimism. And it's like,
Right.
okay, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And it's like the wording is like, I can't do this right now,
Yeah,
you know?
you gotta add context.
Yeah, like I'm very like, when I do my visualization meditations, like I have this vision that we sold our company for $500 million, and then I do this like sick vacation with like my closest people, like
Yeah.
rent a private business jet. We do a week on a crazy yacht in like Croatia, like something super fly, right? And like we're just
Right.
partying for like 7 days, and like in Croatia, and then we fly back on the jet, and I funded everything after selling, and you know, and it's like that sounds crazy. But like I could literally like feel what it feels like to be there. And I used to do that in the pandemic. I used to visualize like being on a beach with white sand. And then a year, June, pandemic was 2020, June 2021, my bro did a vacation and he invited me. And I actually ended up living that manifestation, not knowing when or how it was gonna happen. And So I see the big picture, but within all the small stuff, I feel I just get lost in, is this feeling of not accomplishing this right now realistic, or is it pessimistic? You know, and I don't want the pessimism to overtake the frequency of not getting here. So it's like, I just wonder, it's like, what is that balance? When is realism pessimism, and when is realism just realism?
I
You
mean,
know?
it one of my favorite kind of, I think it was a video that I found on Instagram, but this guy talked about how every day an athlete, an NFL athlete, the goal, right, if you're a running back, is to get to the end zone.
Yeah.
You just don't know how you're going to get there, or what play is going to get there, or what
Right.
hole in the line is going to get you there, or what moves you're going to make to get there. The destination doesn't change, but how you get there might be different than what you thought. And I think for you to manifest that situation, that end goal still happened, but it was just in a much different way than you had expected it or thought it was going to happen. So, like, I feel like that's an interesting point to where, like, you m manifest that general statement or feeling, like you mentioned, and it just comes true in a different form,
Yeah.
if that makes sense. But with your to back to go back to your question with, like, realism and pessimism, I don't know. I've never really thought of that, so I don't really have an answer to that, because that's a great point to make, where you're like, am I being, like, hard on myself? Is that what you're talking about too,
Well,
or?
my partners who I do the parties with, they're like, we're the biggest party in the city. We're that. And it's like, I'll be like, wait, we've only done two, three parties. No one knows this yet. At the time, we only did two, three parties. And I'm like, fuck, like, am I being the Debbie Downer in the room right now? But I don't know. It's like, I'm a believer in what you said earlier. It's like, hey, like, if this is the big goal, let me set these little goals that are attainable and build it up and knock them off, knock them off, knock them off and see. And it's like, I don't want to be the guy that is like, oh no, we can't do that because I'm trying to be realistic, you know? So it's
I
like,
think it's a balance, because obviously, remember Kobe when he got interviewed in the finals, and they're like, you kind of seem down, like, why, you guys are up, like, you guys are about to win the finals, and he's like, job's not finished yet. Like, why do I, like, do you think Kobe had that pessimistic mindset when he was like, he should have been cheering on the guys and, like, the media, and been like, all right, one more, let's go, or, like,
see,
what?
that didn't feel pessimistic to me. That felt like he was just present.
Right.
You know, he's like, I doubt Kobe was lacing up his shoes, walking on the court, thinking like, oh fuck, like we might lose this game. I don't think he was thinking that. I just think he was like, hey, like, I think as we're talking, this is like a thought I'm thinking in real time. It's like, you know
Right.
what? Maybe realism isn't pessimistic or optimistic. You could have a grounding sense of optimism, but you can have a present understanding that anything is possible right now. Like losing is also a possibility. I don't have to accept that, but I need to know that it is out there. I feel I'm gonna win. I'm gonna do everything I can to win, but I also know in doing that, I still could lose. And maybe that's what realism is. It's like the, I think it's a Venn diagram. Whenever you do the circle and then the middle part is realism, and then both sides are pessimism and optimism. And it's just a product of just being present.
That is great, because it's realism is almost a synonym to the word truth, right? It's like reality. It's like you are capable of doing that. But there's a way to achieve that in a realistic way, to where, like I mentioned earlier, it's like, I'm going to read 100 books by tomorrow at 3 p.m. It's like, first of all, it's impossible. Second, but even that is like, who knows? Maybe it's not. Like,
Well, then it's like,
it's
so like,
like, maybe I
I'll even
could do
say, I'll
that.
even take you one step further, right? I think, don't they say like on other planets, a day is like longer than an Earth day? It's like 50 hours in a day somewhere out there. Like, we're also going off of our, like, what we decided a day was too. It's just like, But you know,
Unit,
that's
different units of measurement. Yeah, but I think the biggest thing, and this is something that I've personally gone through in the last couple months, is you need to be brutally honest with yourself. And that doesn't just apply to manifestation. It applies to other things in your life too, because I've always been kind of like a dreamer and like fantasized about like A, B, and C ball. But then when it comes to the layers of work needed to get there, I'm like, sometimes I'm not on that wave. I'm just
yeah.
like almost like visualizing, but not putting into practice or applying what it takes to get there. I'm more so just like in my dreams. And I think that the process from taking what your dreams are and what you're trying to manifest, it's equally as important to then go and apply the rules of or the laws of whatever you do or can't do to get there. And I think those two things are like an equation for manifestation and making your dreams come true. And so that's something that I've been trying to, I've just been trying to be brutally honest. It's like, okay, if I want this, that's great. But here's what it's going to take. Here's the list of things that you're going to have to knock down, you know, and I've tried to be more realistic because, you know, I mean, you know me in the past when you and I worked out together. I mean, I did it, but there was times where I'm like, I want to be this weight or have this, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm like, oh, but you didn't show up this morning. Like, and those were some of the things where I'm like, I was too obsessed with the end goal and not with like applying the crucial steps. Because that with, you know, without work there is, or what is it? Without work, there is no, a dream is just a dream. What's that quote where it's
I know what
like,
you're saying. I
yeah.
always say belief plus, like the mathematical formula is like belief plus action equals manifestation to me.
Right. Yeah. Because
I
if
don't
you
know.
sit in your bed all day and you're manifesting and meditating and you're having these like insane visual experiences and it's amazing, but you just are doing that every day, it's just like, it's only exists in your mind. You know, it's like why God gave us hands is because it's like, all right, let's go fucking.
Let's go get dirty real quick. Go
Yeah. So
run
I'm,
these miles. Go finish this race.
exactly, you know, and you can't get to that goal of 50 books in a year without those smaller incremental measured, like you haven't already measured out when you told me earlier. You're like, I need to read 20 pages a day with both books, and one of the months I have to do 5 books, and not, you know, it's like you have that big goal, and then it's like, all right, here's those little incremental chunks to get there.
No,
And
it's
even those have to be realistic because I sometimes set too big of a goal for a short timeline. And then by like day three, I'm already behind. I'm like, well, fuck, why am I even doing this now? I quit.
one of the
So.
one of there's a guy named Jesse Itzler,
I love
and
him.
you know
Love
Jesse.
Jesse. Yeah, I wear his hat all the
His
time.
content.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful to be born into the life I was for several reasons throughout the convo, right? Like my mom's black, my dad's white, going to the racial convo, it's like I can never understand the perspective of not just being open to everyone because of my parents. But because of being born into the life I am, I'm able to meet amazing people like Jesse. And I
Yeah.
had the privilege one time of having a meet with him. Me and my partner at the time, we gave him a pitch, and we were in Atlanta for like 3 days. He's always doing a million things, and even though the pitch didn't go, it didn't like amount to anything in terms of the business. There was like an insane lesson that it was a bar, crazy bar. He literally was like, "Hey," I forgot what he said. He was like, "Meet me at my house, and we're gonna drop my son off to school." And so we dropped his son. Or no, he said, "Meet me here. I have to drop something off at my son's school." So me and my partner, we're in the car. We're all, he's getting to know my partner a little bit. He goes inside the school for 15 minutes, comes back out, and then he's driving to his next meeting. He was like, "Just Uber from the meeting." We're like, "All right, cool." So we did the meeting in the car. And he's like, "Hey, if you have a goal and you want to get something done, then make time for it. If you got to," and he literally is like, "I only have time to do the meeting in the car. So if you want to have this meeting, we have to do it here." No, I'm sorry. He said, "Meet us at a speech he was doing, and then we'll drive to his son's school, drop it off." Sorry, but it just all hit me.
Yeah, you're good.
So he let us take in the speech, and then after we did the thing in his son's school, we did the meeting. And the lesson was, if you made a commitment, make time for it and get it done no matter what. And it's like, and it's one thing, because he's also a motivational speaker outside of just being like an extraordinary, like talk about a rare human. Oh my
Right.
God, I'm going to manifest that you can get him on here.
It's so funny you bring this up because that is like the mecca of rare human interviews right there. Not even interviews, but just conversations.
But it's like Evan, he's really, like he's the guy in any arena, part owner of the Hawks, like he's the guy. And he was like, yeah, I'll meet with you guys. We'll do the car. And it's like, for someone to tell you how to live the life, he's doing it. He's not telling you something he's not doing in real life. And I just admire people like that so much. And so that type of, I forgot, it was something you said that triggered me to go down that point. But oh, just like reading and working out, and just if you have a goal, get it done. It's like he lives that. And I'm just really grateful that I'm able to be close to people that, practice what they preach and just get it done. And it's like that's what I want to strive towards, is that level of like owning up to your word and just being the person you claim to be in front of other people.
That's the true lesson where it's like who are you when people are watching you and who are you when people aren't watching you? And if there's two different people, then something's wrong. Like I totally understand the whole, I get it. If you're a public figure, you're on or this or that. But I'm assuming that being in his presence and seeing that and hearing him discuss those things, it's like, oh, you're not just out here like telling people just because it's like a job to you. Like you're living that. And everything that you say, it's like this other guy that I follow, Andy Elliott. He's like super, like it's a little bit too, sometimes it can be a little bit too aggressive for me. But I really needed to get in that that headspace though, because recently I've just really needed to, I think there's a lot of value. That's why I don't really like therapy. Because therapists like almost like baby you and coddle you and say everything's gonna be okay. But sometimes, especially as a man, as a male, with like father figures and other things, like you need somebody to look at you and be like, no, you gotta get your fucking shit together. You gotta, and not in like a negative way where it's like it's the end of the world. It's more of like a positive, realistic reinforcement of like, get off your ass and let's go. Like no more poor me, victim, this and that. And so I think I'm just a person that's so heavily influenced by people around me. Obviously, I choose very wisely of what influence I kind of absorb. So I just, going through some recent shit in my own life, I just really needed like that fatherly kind of type of inspiration, and it's really helped me in the last few weeks. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because with Jesse too, it's like everyone's telling you something different based off of how they live their life, and if that works for them, great. If that can't work for you, then whatever. But I feel like it's really cool to be able, like you said, to be inspired by people like that because they're really living that. Like that's truly their life.
Yeah, salute to those people.
I love it. It's people give a lot of shit for like social media, all that. I do believe that those are the right kind of people that we should be influenced by.
Yeah.
Like, I could give a fuck if I go on and like some page has 2 million views and they're like, buy this moisturizer or buy this. Like, it's just like,
Or
but when
buy
you,
the
yeah, it's like, but
anyways.
exactly. But like, and or like people that are famous people that are posting pictures about how fucking cool they are and how cool their lives are, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mostly personally am just like, I want to see the real honest truth. And even if it's tough.
That's why I just did that post the other day, talking about 24 on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think we do need sometimes, especially as men, it's like to say like, yo, I actually was depressed a couple months ago. I
Yeah.
actually am broke. I actually am fighting every way to just waking up w and not getting discouraged about the obstacles or what the bank account says or comparisons, you know? And I think in the entrepreneurial space, like, we need that level of authenticity. Again, I'm grateful for just like the innate act of just being curious to want to read. 'Cause like through reading, I've learned how to have like strength and vulnerability. And it's like, you know, as a kid, you didn't want to cry around people because you didn't want to be weak or soft or whatever, right? And it's like, as you get older, you realize everyone's kind of like this, because it's what we're taught to do as men. But it's like, it's okay to just be like, hey, I'm also struggling right now. Again, that's not me being pessimistic. That's me being real. Like, this is a
Real.
tough time. And I'm not losing sight of the mega vacation in Croatia in like very blue waters. That's out there. I just gotta run up this incline hill real quick. And then I'll be back on flat land and we'll keep going. But it's like we need that level of authenticity as well.
Yeah, and understanding how to ride those waves efficiently so that way you don't crash and burn, you know,
Because to
when.
that point, it's like we're all human. We all have experienced these feelings. So why not we all let each other know that, hey, like I got through it, you could get through it too. It's called the shared human experience. We're not, you know, like so special that none of us, even if like the level, what like the experience of what it creates, the feeling might be different, might be more intense than someone else, the feeling is still the same. And I said this, and I put this on my Instagram during the George Floyd stuff, and it was like it's so sad that we can't like see the shared human experience, because when the son of a black person or the child of a black person, black family, interracial family, whatever, dies, they will feel the same pain as the child of KKK's son dying, daughter dying, child dying. They will experience the same feeling, you know? So I think that's, you know, kind of left field, but
Well,
point the
no,
same.
losing someone that you love is gonna strike you no matter race, gender, anything. It's gonna inflict that same amount of pain.
We're all the same, and we could use each other as a crutch to know, okay, if they got through that, no matter how hard it was, is, will be, in and out of it, I know I could keep going too. And I think we got to just show that we could just be there for each other, by even if we're not directly there. It's like, hey, like this person went through that, I'm going through that, and I'm gonna just take in that perspective and not feel alone, you know,
Well,
because we're
that
all.
almost completes your, it comes full circle with how you were describing that, like with the Venn diagram, realism is at the center of pessimism and optimism. Because if you're in the pessimism side, it's like, oh yeah, dude, like you're broke or you ended a relationship or this or that, like you're fucked. Like that's the pessimism side.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude,
Things will never change.
yeah, shit's gonna, like it's, yeah, you're fucked. But then the opposite side is the optimism is like, no, dude, this is great. Like you'll figure it out. Like it'll come around, man. You know, it's like that bubbly kind of like, oh, you know, like fantasy of getting out of that. But right smack dab in the middle of that Venn diagram that you explained with realism is it's like you take both and intertwine them. You know, you say, hey, yeah, you're going through something extremely challenging right now, and this is gonna take a lot of work. And it's gonna really require you to dig deeper than you ever have before. But this is what's on the other side of that. This is the strength that it's gonna build. This is the character it's gonna build. It's going to be okay, but it's right now it's gonna be challenging. That statement that I just said is like that middle ground of the Venn diagram where you're not just spitting this horribly negative shit, or you're not just spitting this horrible, like, or this like bubbly, like happy go lucky, free. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. That is what I love in someone that I can pull from. Like, that's why I made the comment earlier where it's like, I don't like therapy. I know that might be controversial, and I think that a lot of people need therapy for sure, but I'm just talking, speaking for me personally. It's because I don't want to get coddled. I don't want to get babied. I don't want to have someone on the other side being like, this is all normal. It's all going to be okay, which I get that. I appreciate that. But I think maybe it's just like more of like the man biological thing where it's like, no, yeah, like I know it's going to be okay because I've gone through this shit, but I need the harsh truths, the reality, and be like, this, it sounds like you are this type of person. So let's, here's the truth and the reality of it. And then boom.
Well, and I think, and I agree. I'm actually an advocate for therapy, and that's hypocritical of me because I don't go to therapy. And the only reason why, and I'm not trying to be arrogant when I say this, but I feel I'm pretty like introspective. You know, I think it's hard for me to conclude to one reason why I do the stuff that I do, for better or for worse, because I consider everything I've went through to see could this have contributed, and then I'll go down that path. What about that? What about this? And I'll explore each path in depth. And essentially, that's what a therapist is for. So it's like
I think maybe I've just had bad therapists. I need you as a therapist.
I actually was lucky when I was young. My mom had a great therapist that we used as a family, and I don't know if I was always innately introspective or if this is what kickstarted it, like it brought it out of me. But like her name was Sherry Kaplan. She was great. But like, and now that I journal and stuff, it's like I ask myself the questions, the hard questions I think that a therapist would ask. So it's like, do I specifically need one? And I think it's all, you know, to your point, relative. Like, I'm also grateful that my big bro Darnell, like, and through sports, at a young age, I was conditioned to have those tough conversations. I could have scored 30 points. I said, "Hey, bro, what do you think of the game? For better or for worse." I got feedback. I could have had 0 points. "Hey, bro, what do you think of the game? For better or for worse." I got feedback. And when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, and you're seeking that, to your point earlier, shit compounding, that becomes who you are. And so now my own thoughts, Kanye Ye had a line on his new song, I think it was paid or paperwork. He was like, "We're not the type to point fingers." And like that's something Darnell, you know, instilled in me earlier, early in life. And
Can you elaborate on that statement?
I'm not the type to point fingers.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, someone could have been wrong. But then you just always put in, it's like the control what you can control. It's like, could I have done something differently? What could I have done better in that situation? You know?
Taking full responsibility instead of passing the blame.
Yeah. And
Like I had a bad childhood, or I didn't have a dad, or I didn't have that. Instead of saying that, you're like, no, these are the cards I was dealt, and it's up to me to change that.
once you become aware of it, you
Right.
know? Once you become aware of it, and then once you condition that part of your brain to become aware of those type of things, it just becomes who you are. So it's even like, what's an example I could give? It's I don't know. There's not one example, because then you know, like when you try to find one specific example, then like goes blank for a second. And it's like, when this is over, I'm gonna text you, "Hey, here's whatever." But yeah, I just was conditioned to just be that person. And even in the moment when it's hard to see it, at some point I will come back around. I will journal and ask myself the hard questions, like, well, maybe you could have done this better. And it's like, so for me, I don't necessarily know if I'm with you. It's like, if you're like that, if you're introspective, if you could be honest with yourself, you probably don't need a therapist. Because two, then you have to go through the process of them, and you know, they need to get to know you, and you know, and versus if you're talking to your best friend from childhood, they can kind of go into your psyche
Right.
already. Hey, like, so I agree, but then you know, not every person grew up in sports, not every person was held accountable at a young age, and they needed in a softer delivery.
That's true,
So
yeah.
it's like, for them, their therapy might work. I relate, and I understand why you say you don't need it, because I've feel the same. Not saying I don't need it because I don't have my own shit. I'm just willing to shovel my own shit, you know? And I feel like I could do that pretty efficiently and pretty honestly with my pretty thoroughly with myself.
Yeah, and I really do cherish those friendships too, where it's like you want to have someone in your life that you can call and just know that they're going to give it to you straight. No, no bullshit. And I love that. I strive for relationships like that because they are genuine, they are real, and it doesn't mean that that person's an asshole or a dick. It's because they love you and they care about you and they want you to succeed. They want you to be a better person. They want you to grow. And I think that level of like connection is just something that I strive for and hope that I can be for other people too. You know, if somebody calls me up and says, "Hey, I did A, B, and C," it's like, "Oh, well, yeah." Instead of being like, "Bro, what the fuck?" Like, you know. So I think, at least in this chapter of my life, I'm just trying to be more brutally honest and more realistic, and just truth. Like truth, truth, truth. And truth is such a skewed word nowadays because it can mean a lot of different things. But to me right now, truth is just like what is just brutally honest in front of you, even if you don't want to hear it, or if it's hard to hear, but it's the truth, right? It's like,
You know, I was doing a meditation yesterday and I was saying to myself, I'm like, as I breathe in, I was like, as I breathe in, I accept what is, and as I breathe out, I let go of my perceptions. Because essentially that's what truth is, right? It's
right.
like you and I could watch the same thing and we could see it in a different way, but that's your truth, that's my truth.
Yeah.
But essentially, those are both perceptions. And then there's the truth. There's a winter, a spring, a fall, the leaves come, the weather changes.
Physics.
Yeah, you know, like
Yeah.
there's shit you, it's like nature, natural truths you just can't argue.
Yeah.
And I think to like hit that level of like brutal honesty, to like get somewhere, you have to drop your perceptions of whatever it is that's giving you an opinion. And then to even get there, you need to then, going back to like the introspective part, you need to dig through why do you perceive shit in that way? Why does it register you in that way based on all of your life experiences? So it's like it's, and even back to what I said, like it's, there's always work to do even when you're not working.
Yeah,
Because then it all applies to work. And I'm saying it like I struggle with it, but like, it's good to say it out loud to sometimes say, remind yourself, like, hey, this is still the practice.
yeah, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything about myself. I don't know, like that's also a part of the equation of just being honest with yourself. You know, if somebody asks you a question, I don't know. And it's okay to not know. You know, hey, did you figure this out? No.
My
Yeah.
girlfriend says one of the highest like signs of intelligence is like someone who can admit that they don't know something,
Yeah.
you know? And that's so, I think that's so powerful.
It
Because
is.
especially now, and like, no knock, like to like you having a podcast, me and my dad are gonna start a podcast. Even in this, I'm like, man, maybe I should say some shit. But it's like, especially in an era now where everyone's just like spewing information,
Yeah.
right? It's like, it makes you feel like you gotta know some shit. Or it's like everyone's coming off like everyone knows some shit.
Yeah.
And some people do, and some people don't, and some people just want to talk. And it's like, I don't know if we. I put this on my Instagram the other day. I realized that after reading that Sophie's World, that philosophy book, it explained the difference between what a philosopher and a sophist is. And a philosopher is, by definition, well, in this book, they defined it as seeker of wisdom, lover of wisdom, right? So the like ancient philosophers, the Socrates and all them back in the day, the real ones rarely told you what to do. They just asked questions. You would start talking about it, and then they would just, let's dig deeper. The sophists were people who were almost like teachers. Like they monetize wisdom, where they would tell you as if something was such, and then you pay them for that. Therapists, you know, teacher. Not to discredit teachers and therapists, that could come off
They
wrong, but
want
like,
they want something in return.
yeah. And it's like, so the point is talking about what we know and what we don't know. I was just asking questions on my Instagram, and it's like, how How do we know shit? I've realized that nobody knows shit. Even like the business giants, every day they're just trying to figure out, they're just trying to give a solution to a problem that arises, and they don't know until they take those necessary steps to keep digging through and figure out, okay, well, this makes sense. Let's go down this. Let's see how it responds. And if it responds well, they'll double down to figure out how to improve on it. And if it doesn't respond well, they'll figure out how to improve on it or ditch it. And no one knows. And I've realized that when you just speak confidently, people will believe you because no one knows. Even if you're fucking lying, someone will probably be like if you're lying or giving misinformation, and this person knows you're giving misinformation, but you're saying it so convincingly and just drawing a parallel or a point that might be make you look in a certain way. It's like, oh wait, maybe this person isn't totally wrong when you know they're totally wrong. This person
What
doesn't
is
know.
that? What is that called? Is that cognitive dissonance? Is that,
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I'd
I don't
have
know
to,
the name.
I don't know. Yeah. I'd
I'm
have
not gonna be
to.
like, yeah, that's cognitive
You'd be
dissonance.
like,
You're
oh yeah. And then afterwards it's
like,
like, no, it's way off. But
yeah.
it's interesting because then you go into like the idea of like cult members and leaders who take advantage of something that may be true, and then they take a twist on it and they're like, give me money and all that shit. So that is such a good point. But that's interesting in that book. I want to dig into that book and learn more about that, because I do think there are people out there who just are who they are. And just radiate that energy of that aura of just like truth, and just like, damn, like I feel like I should be paying you for this right now. And they're like, no,
Yeah, like
And
I'm not even talking to you.
one of those people early on, even in being in LA, was Sakaya, where like I was like, damn, this person is just like saying all this like intellectual like shit, and it's like it makes sense.
Yeah.
But he's not over here, but like, oh, but subscribe to my newsletter, you know, $20 a month.
This is just what
That's
he's,
just who he
yeah,
is.
it's the conclusions he come to in his life experiences.
Yeah, and whether you agree with it or not, or care or not, like that doesn't affect him. You know, like
Yeah.
if a YouTuber is like, oh, views are going down, let me start talking about some more radical shit. All right, the views are back up, money's coming in. Versus someone who is just like, no, this is who I am. This is what I believe in. This is what I embody. Like, if you agree with it, great. If not, then I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. And that sometimes that comes in with insecurity as well. Like, you mentioned everyone is starting a podcast now. Everyone wants to do that. It's almost because that insecurity is telling them like, oh, everyone's doing it. You're not. That must mean that people think that you're fucking stupid. If if you're not saying, that's also why people lie and agree and, you know, say one thing when they know in the back of their head it's not the truth. It's because maybe they want to be perceived a certain way. It's like you mentioned perception. But like, if you're truly confident in what you believe in and like what you stand for, then you shouldn't really give a fuck what people think.
No, for sure. For sure. And it's hard to accept that as well. Like you have to go, you have to look back and be introspective and figure out why do I care what people think? Where did that insecurity of, you know, and I think part of it too is like, again, knowing our innate like survival instincts as humans. It's like people need it to show a certain perception of themselves to fit in a community. Because
In the
back in
tribe, yeah.
the tribal days, it's like this person hunted, this person took care of whatever. And it's like if you're a lone wolf out here, you'll need to do everything that is designated, everyone does as a role in a tribe. And it's like that's the way you survive. So you had to make sure you never got alienated from the tribe. So that's like an innate survival instinct. I don't really know that, but when I read that, and I thought about it, it just made sense to me. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then when I consider other life experiences that I've seen, I'm like, okay, I could get behind that way, that information. You know, I could agree to that. So, yeah, I mean, we're so complex. It's fairly, it's it, and it's like, and even in complexity, there's so much simplicity as well. But it's, I don't know, it gets deep, man.
It does. It's a rabbit hole, and that's why you see and hear so many different ideas and stories and different characters and It just seems like it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and
That's why I love that definition of philosophy. And it's like, because really, like, I think Plato might have said it. I'm not, we could Google it. I don't know. One of the original philosophers, they're like, there's no answers, there's only questions.
Yeah, Elon talks about why that this Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is his favorite movie because like the whole premise is around how the humans were like asking this supercomputer the wrong questions, and they were trying to figure out like why the computer spit out 42 because they asked what's the meaning of life and it's like 42, and so then they're like trying to like articulate their entire existence because the supercomputer said this random shit, but really in all reality they were kind of guided astray because they weren't asking the right questions. And so he thinks the analogy in that is like life is all about questions, yes, but it's about asking the right questions.
Yeah, that's for real. What's the name of that movie?
It's called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You should watch it. It's a classic.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so there's just these little metaphors I think that we pick up on, and obviously we're all our DNAs and genetics are all different and all that. So like you mentioned earlier, everyone's not going to have, nothing's black and white. It's like on a spectrum, everyone has this different experience and, some people are dealt better cards than others. And nobody truly knows what the fuck is going on here, but we can create that world in our mind and be so confident. Like the Steve Jobs who were like, we are going to build the greatest tech company and it's going to be built on this foundation of design and user experience. Like, none of that shit theoretically is true in a way, right? It's just how that was his truth.
Yeah.
And, people don't know what they want until they're kind of fed that. But yeah, man, like you said, it's just so complex and it's inspiring, it's terrifying, it's fulfilling, it's lonely, it's like all these different things all in once, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's
Beautiful madness.
yeah. That's a
Yep.
good way.
But dude, thank you so much for taking the time. I feel like, I've never had like a repeat guest because my whole purpose with this podcast is just to get to know people more and just like ask these questions. That's why the name is like Rare Humans, because it's like you're clearly somebody that believes a certain thing, and so let's kind of extract why, like extract some parts of your thinking and thoughts. But like I said, I've never had like a repeat guest, but I feel like I would definitely love to, down the road, if you're down, just keep having these little check-ins.
No, we could honestly, bro, like this was, I was really in amazement of how we weave through everything and it almost felt seamless. So you're a great host, bro. So whenever you want me, call me. This
Thank
is
you.
am
Thank you so much. I really, this is like something that I've wanted to do and love to do is outside of just the podcast and the media, like all that side of it. Really, I've just loved having conversations. When I went to college, I like my flight over there, I sat next to some fucking crazy engineer guy, and literally, like, we talked for 2.5 hours the entire time. And like, people were like getting their bags to get off the plane, and him and I were like, dude, should we just stay on and see where this flight takes us so we can keep talking? Like, I just love interesting people that are, yeah, it's in the name, Rare Humans. So,
question,
yeah.
what person, number person am I who you've interviewed, or do you know what episode this will be?
This is 11.
11? Okay.
Yep, 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah, so I'm trying to kick it into high gear and get a kind of a consistent schedule going. Obviously, scheduling is very difficult with other people's time, but man, my own manifestation for this is just to have a library of great conversations on people who really have something to say, really have something to share. And even w with you and I discussing in the last hour and a half, like you've said so many great things that I know even if three people listen to it, it's like that's three people that are like thinking about this now. So
Yeah.
that's a win.
Yeah,
I don't care
for
if it's
sure.
three people or 300,000 people.
Yeah.
Like,
And only three when you get your 300,000 view video, maybe they'll come back to it. You never know.
Absolutely. But dude, I really appreciate you taking the time, and that was a ton of fun. Let's definitely, I'm gonna hit you up down the road and be like, hey, come back on. We need to talk about some shit.
Ready. I'm ready. I can't wait.